afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Just wanted to make sure you are aware. This is our presentation regarding the hand pod from Rob Santello. But before we do that, I want to take a minute to have somebody who has vision run the microphone around and ask you to give your name, your call sign, license class, etc. And give you a chance to get the group acquainted with who you are. So when somebody taps you on the shoulder and you see the microphone in front of you, just you know what to do.
I'm Leonard Grossman, and I'm not a hand yet, but I'm going to be soon.
Yay! See?
Hi, I'm married to Leonard Grossman. My name is Diana Dawn, and I'm also not a ham, but I'm trying to be supportive, and certainly radio has always been something that interests me.
John McCann, KW40, past president of BIDS, current secretary of ACRA, incoming president of the Arizona Council, because Jeff's going to Microsoft, I think everyone knows.
Hey,
Mike.
All in one breath.
He wears more hats than Bartholomew Cousins.
Don't forget to get right in that microphone and say hey.
I'm Mike Duke, K5XU. I'm the treasurer for ACB Radio Amateurs.
And he does know what to do with the microphone.
Hello, radio. I'm Betsy Doan, K1EIC, Shelton, been a ham since we were, about 12 years old.
Open class, guys, should I give you your hamster class?
Oh, extra class. Hello, I'm Barb, K1EIR, always on CW forever. I'm from Shelton, Connecticut, and I do hold an extra class.
Yes, I'm J.R. Kennison, and I have not got my license yet, but I'm working on it.
Hey, Bruce Kennison, my call sign is Kilo 7, the India Hotel, extra class.
3.545.2.
I'm Larry Watkinson, Olympia, Washington. I hold a general class Kilo Charlie 7, Charlie Kilo Oscar.
Kathy Watkinson, I'm a technician, and KC7OQM.
Well, thank you to K7EBI.
Steve Dresser, WA1RTV, Whiskey Alpha One, Radio Tango Bravo, and I am the general.
Count Farina, W2QCY, extra class, in New York since 1970.
I don't like it any different. I don't get any
royalties. Hey, Catherine Clegg, KBCWBO, and I'm technician.
I'm Eric Clay, KU3I, Sacramento, and I'm an extra class.
I'm Cameron Drake, Kilo Alpha 2, Romeo, Quebec, Kilo KH2RQK, otherwise, Visalia, California, currently, and I am a general class licensee.
I guess I need to tell you guys to talk a little louder into that microphone because it is, if you want to be heard on the recording.
Martin Coon, not a ham, but you know, I could listen and hear about this stuff, so, okay.
Say your name and your call.
KHLX, Hotel Lima X Bay.
What's your name?
Kilani, KHLX.
And your name?
Gary Wood. Yes, Gary.
Hello, I'm Jerry Leary, WB6 India Victor Fox, Advanced Class Boulder, Colorado.
Rob Turner, KB6 Delta Alpha Extra, Sunnyvale, California.
Steve Bauer, WB6 FZU, Advance.
Well, Steve was from Los Angeles, by the way. Okay, Ron Smith, Los Angeles. Well, let's see. I have an expired call, I might say, N6, LRN. It lapsed about 11 years ago. I had a general class.
You got it. Start over.
Get to it.
Did I get everybody?
No.
No,
in fact,
I didn't think I got
it. Kerry Johnson, KJ4JR,
Extra, Jeannie Johnson, KJ4ZPZ, Extra, Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, and I'm bringing it back up to the table. I am, of course, Renee Zellison, Kilo Foxtrot 4, the cute happy Yankee, CHY. I got my license in Alabama, and I am a tech. And I'm trying to work on the Morse code. I need to retire so I have the energy to do all this. And so I guess now I'm at the head table. Now,
do you want to pass the?
Okay.
All right.
I'm John Glass, NU6P, from Saratoga, California, extra class. And I think we just have one more person at the front table here.
There's two.
Oh, well, our speaker, right?
And, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to just take a second here. I'm the president of ACB Radio Amateurs. As you know, this is a joint session between BITS and ACBRA. And I just want to welcome everybody this afternoon and say that we are going to have an ACBRA meeting on Wednesday afternoon from 1:15 to 2:30. We're going to do our traditional drawing for a 2-meter 440 dual band Waxon, Wuxing, Oshang, however you pronounce it, handheld radio with speech. And so I hope that people will come and want to participate in that and purchase tickets. We are also going to be talking about starting a net, hopefully in the very near future for ACBRA. And we hope to participate, allow everybody to participate using the DOIP protocols or systems such as Echolink, IRLP, and possibly All-Star. And let's see, I would just like to also take this opportunity to thank BITS for allowing us to have this joint session. I believe this is the third year that we're doing it, and it's a fantastic turnout. I'm well aware of the product that's going to be demonstrated this afternoon, and I think you're all going to find it very exciting. So thanks for coming, and I'm going to hand this to the person to my left, who I believe is going to do an introduction.
This is Richard Villa, BITS Treasurer, AG5KL, Minextra, as of 2 months ago.
And I'm Tom Jones, the BITS president, and wanting to welcome all of you of ACBRA to our combined presentation. And I just want to give the microphone to our speaker here to let him tell you who he is, and then we'll come back to really do that.
We got one more.
One more,
yeah.
We got one more, too?
Plus,
okay.
We have another one at the table.
Okay. Hi, folks. Armand Bacalian, Whiskey Bravo 2, Zulu, Echo India. From Sacramento, just a general.
See, I didn't see
that. Okay, who just came in the room?
Back here at this table.
So, Tom, am I supposed to use that handheld mic?
Yeah. No.
I'm Monty, KB6CAD from Bakersfield, California. And I'm a general. Again, today I'm generally late, but at least I'm here.
Okay, reach out.
And here, I'll let you. You know what? I'm going to do something different.
Okay.
I'm going to do something.
I'm going to do something different.
I was going to hand the microphone to somebody, but I decided I have a better idea. I want to turn this over for a moment to our treasurer, Richard Villa. I want him to perform the introduction of our speaker today, and therefore he doesn't have to go through the arduous task of going through his information until he wants to. Hold on just one second.
Thanks, Tom. I asked Tom to do that. I wanted to do this because of how it all came about. Last year, when I got back into radio, ham radio, I was looking for equipment. You know, everybody wants to get their gear set up, and I got my first rig, and then, you know, everybody's dealing with antennas and all the different issues that are involved. And I said, wait a minute, I need to find out how to read different pieces of equipment, information, and I wanted to get a watt meter because I wanted to see what my radio was really doing. You know, it's rated one thing, but you know what it's really doing it to an antenna might be a different thing. And so I started looking around, and they said, well, the W1 used to be accessible, but there's none to be had because unfortunately nobody's selling theirs, or the ones that when people go silent key, the folks don't know to keep that equipment because it's very valuable to us. So I started looking around, and they said, well, somebody said, well, you know, there's this device they call a ham pod that's supposed to be usable with a W2 meter. And a ham pod, what the heck is a ham pod? They said, well, it's a device that allows you to read and operate different settings on your equipment and such. And that. So I did some research, and I found a website, and I looked at it and said, oh, it sounds interesting. So I called, and I got to speak to the man who was the not only the creator, but the designer and marketer of the ham pod. And when I found out why he did this, I said, oh, this is the perfect presentation. I said, you know, when they say the need is the mother of invention, I said, boy, this is a real mother. So this kind of thing that keeps my batteries charged or recharges them. And they're not lithium ion. They're the old fashioned lead acid type. So anyway, I want to introduce our speaker today, who will tell us a little bit about why and how the ham pod came to be. And it's also one of us, a ham, a K6 DQ, Delta Quebec. And I'll give him the mic. Rob Santello.
Okay, I'm Rob Santello, K6DQ from Sacramento Extra. And this is way outside of my comfort zone, so keep that in mind.
You're amongst friends. You're amongst friends.
All right, so a little history on me. I'm 58, 7, and did radio back in high school, fell away. I have RP, diagnosed in my 20s. Thank God it's been really slow, but it, of course, was progressively getting worse to the point where I couldn't do a lot of the hobbies I was interested in. Okay, I'll pull it in closer.
We can't hear you back here.
Okay.
There you go.
But now I can hear myself. That's worse.
If somebody could possibly close doors, too, that might be helpful.
Okay, let me see if I can do that.
Okay, but anyway, so as the eyesight got quite a bit worse, I couldn't do a lot of my existing hobbies, and I kind of wanted to get back into radio, and I remembered, oh, yeah, there's a lot of blind guys still doing radio, so that was a good excuse to do that. So this came about mostly as a selfish reason. My intention was, when I started getting back into the hobby, I wanted to make my station as accessible as possible for myself while I still have some remaining vision. And right now I only have a little peripheral vision left. So growing up, I was always into electronics and microcontrollers and computers. Worked for the phone company for 20-something years and ended up having to retire because I was doing online graphics programming for training, and I just couldn't see what I was doing anymore. So I quit that. Wife went back to work. I got to get up when I want and play around with stuff when I wanted. I felt really guilty about that for about a week. So for everybody that actually has one of these, my lovely wife is here, and she'll be passing around. I brought a couple, one that's complete so you can see what it feels like all together, and then a second one, I took the top off so you can feel the circuit board and what's inside. But she has been tremendously helpful getting this thing going. She's my quality control. I taught her how to. She can solder like you wouldn't believe. Yeah, and initially cutting the boxes was a real challenge on a drill press, which was never meant to do this kind of thing. So it's been a frustration and a learning curve, but it's really satisfying to see the results that I get from the feedback from everybody that's been using them. So anyways, I started messing around with this stuff, and I think the first thing I originally tried to adapt was my rotor. And another really good thing that worked out great was I met two local blind guys in Sacramento that had been doing it for a long time. Mike Cozzolino, W6QUV, and he runs Access Solutions or something like that. Yeah, anyways, so he had some great feedback, and then the other guy that was really helpful sitting right next to me, Armand. So between both of those guys showing me what they do, how they do it, what they needed to do, and then giving me suggestions as I was developing this thing, that really helped formulate what it is now. So I'm really grateful for that. But it got to a point when I started that, the rotor controller, and then I moved. I also have a stepper antenna, and I wanted to make that talk. And that was a little different because what I ended up doing on that, it has an LCD display. I ended up taking that apart and then piggybacking on the
3.545.19.
The data line going to the LCD. So I read the data as they send it to the LCD display, and that made that talk. That was a pretty neat challenge. But the next big thing was the radio. And initially I had a Tentec Orion, great radio, but totally inaccessible. But I was getting that to do quite a bit of stuff, so it was mostly usable. But then Mike, W6QUV, wanted an Elecraft K3. So he got one of those, and of course he wouldn't loan it to me. But Elecraft was great. They loaned me one for 3 months, and then they gave me another month. And after 4 months of playing with that radio, I saw how well it was working, and I sold my Orion and bought my own K3. They give you so much access to the radio through the serial port, so that was really good. And having the radio there helped a lot. So I kept working on that, and then eventually they came out with the KX3, the portable one. So they loaned me one of those for a couple of months, or as long as I need, really. They're just great people to work with. And by that time, you could see how well this was working and how much it. Armand had bought a K3, Mike had his, and they just convinced me that I needed to make this available to other people. So that's kind of how it ended up being what it is. I'm not a business. I'm not a business person. I'm just one of us hobbyists. And I just do this out of the house with the help of my wife, and that's kind of how it got to this point. So, of course, everybody seeing what it does and how it helped them, well, can you make it work with this and make it work with that? So next thing I know, for the last 7-8 years, it's been continuous. It's pretty much taken over my life. And it's been fun. It's challenging. I've learned a lot. A little frustrating at times. The biggest frustration is trying to adapt it to a piece of gear that I don't own. You can look through the, you know, the protocol manuals and do what it says to do, but of course that never always works, and there's a lot of stuff you don't think about that you need to deal with. And it's the other frustration is getting good feedback. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth to try to get some information back. And some of you guys have been really helpful too, as far as giving me good feedback and letting me know what's going on. So it's kind of a two-way deal. But I guess that's pretty much the okay, hardware side. I really like microcontrollers. I was never really, I don't consider myself a programmer, though I did programming. When I was at the phone company, I did some C and some Unix support. But mostly I was interested in home, you know, the home computer side of things. But I really like microcontrollers. I like making little devices and being able to get them to do things. So that was kind of where my interests really were. So that worked out perfect for this kind of a situation. So I can't remember why, but before Arduino came along, there was the microchip PIC. So that's where I started with the microchip PIC for several projects. I've done a bunch of other things too, but I started with assembly language, and I continue to use assembly language. So it's pretty tedious, but you have full control over what's going on. Because these microcontrollers are relatively small, there's not a whole lot of program memory. You got to be real careful about using program space to do stuff. So other than just being tedious and time-consuming, I think that's the best way to deal with this kind of thing. So in the box is a 40-pin, and everything is pretty much surface mount, so I can solder. I couldn't solder anymore because of my vision, but then I got a hold of an Onyx from Freedom Scientific. It's an articulating arm with a CCTV camera, and with that thing, you could blow up a solder pad the size of your TV screen. So, and it gives you like a foot of workspace underneath the camera. So being able to zoom in as tight as I need, it takes forever to do it, but I can pretty much put, I do two at a time just for efficiency, and it takes 2 days, but I can solder two boards in 8 to 10 hours. But I can actually solder the boards, and then I have Susan double check, make sure I didn't miss it. And usually I'm pretty good. I only miss one or two little things, and it's not missing, it's just it could use a little bit of touch up. But anyways, that camera has bought me an extra 5+ years of being able to continue doing this myself. So yeah, thanks to them and all those similar devices, it's been great.
Did you say you use surface mount? You do surface mount?
Hold on just 1 second. I've got an idea. I told Rob this would turn into an interactive discussion, and I wasn't kidding.
You want me to? No.
Renee, do you want to run this microphone around? Because Rob has his, and I want you to. I want people to be able to ask him questions and answer.
Okay. I'll come to you. I just wondered.
Did you say you do surface mount?
Not unless I have to.
Yeah, no, I would think not.
I try to do everything through hole, and that has some limitations as well, because number one, obviously, it takes up a lot more board space, so that gives you some limitation. And the other thing is, of course, all the newer devices are all coming in surface mount packages. Where right now I'm getting to the point, because of the limited memory space in the CPU I'm using, I'm starting to run out of space when I'm combining certain of my applications together. I'll explain that later. But if I were to go to a surface mount part, they have larger memory models. So I may have to do something like that down the road. But I have done, with that camera, I can blow it up big enough, and I have done some surface mount stuff. It is possible to do. I just haven't done enough of it to be comfortable doing it yet, but I can do it. It just depends on the part. Not the real dense stuff, but the larger pieces I can probably manage. But anyway, so that camera really has allowed me to continue building these things. So that's been a great, great help.
Is there anything else?
Yes, please.
And if anytime you have questions, yeah, please ask.
I do.
Thank you.
It's all your fault, Richard.
Hi, Rob, and thank you again for coming. This is John.
Hi, John.
Hi, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, so I won't say who it was, but somebody came up to me and whispered in my ear just a minute ago, and they said, so what actually is this thing? It's a box. Oh. It what does it do? And so forth. And so I quickly whispered back to the person, well, it's an external box with a built-in speech synthesizer and some controls that allow you to have speech output from a number of devices that we normally wouldn't have access to. Would you say that's a fair description of what it is?
I'd say that's perfect.
Okay. Because it's amazing how sometimes we, you know, many of us get talking about something and we all know what it is, but this was a fairly new person, and they said to me, so what is this thing?
Okay, good point. And my brain is not working, so.
You're doing fine. How do you hook it up?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll get to all that. So, okay, yeah, just let me back up a little bit. So, yeah, what it is, it's a microcontroller-based. It has a 16-key keypad, a text-to-speech voice synthesizer using DoubleTalk, and two serial ports. So with that, I can communicate through the serial ports to any device that will, you know, talk with serial data at a decent baud rate. So not only have I been connecting to different pieces of radio transceivers, I can also connect to a multitude of rotator controllers. There's a couple of watt power meters on the market that have serial ports that I communicate with. I've interfaced to a Heathkit weather station, an IFR service monitor. In fact, now there's probably two for sure and possibly a third user now that's going to be using a service monitor to align their cans on their repeaters and check the bandwidth on the radios. Yeah, so, and if you guys on the list know Butch, he was one of the main guys that started the IFR thing. So, yeah, just about any piece of gear, you know, if you had a scale that had a serial port, and as long as I know the protocol, I can talk to it, so I can interface to that kind of thing.
Let's hear it talk. Let's do it.
And also amplifiers, a couple of, like the Elecraft KPA-500, the Cat 500 antenna tuner, and Armon last year bought a SPE Expert 1.3F KFA whatever. So work with that and their 2.0 amp. So as long as it has a serial port and it talks normal data without any weird compression or anything like that, odds are, as long as they give you the protocol, I can talk to it. So in a nutshell, that's what this box basically does.
They want you to fire that thing up and make it work so that they can see how it does work.
Okay.
3.545.19.
So right now I have two radios up here. I have an Elecraft K3 and an ICOM 7100, which the 7100 is fairly old now. I guess it's 5 years old, but it's a touchscreen radio. So I had a guy in Ireland call me up and say, I got a 7100. I'm wondering if your device can work with the 7100. And I asked him, why would a blind guy buy a touchscreen radio? And he said, my wife bought it for me as a gift. I'm thinking, doesn't she know you're blind? But anyways, he was using it, getting some, but he was really frustrated. So at the time, I had a 746 Pro I had got for a good price, used at one of our ham swaps, and I was using that for development and pretty much exhausted everything it could do that I needed to do. So I traded that in and got a 7100 of my own so I could continue doing that. And right now, there's at least three or four, maybe even more users of 7100s. There's even a guy in England using a 7300, their newer touchscreen radio. So it's pretty nice. Oh, and the only Yaesu, again, was Butch. He had won an 857D at some raffle. And He had a sentimental attachment to it, but he wanted to be able to use it, and Yesu's protocol is awful, at least on their older stuff. But I tried doing some stuff with it. I was able to make it so he could enter frequency and mode and read frequency and mode and just minimal. The other stuff wouldn't work, and it was too hard to troubleshoot over the phone. So until I borrow something, get my hands on one, that's kind of where Yesu is. I might have access to a 5,000, so maybe someday I could do that.
Rob, this is Derek from 3i.
What was that?
Eric
in the back there, he was nice enough to loan me a 703 plus. So that's when I started on. I was primarily at the time I was doing the Elecraft, and then I did a little bit because I had a TS-2000, so I did a little bit of Kenwood, and I was getting a lot of people asking me about ICOM, but I didn't own any ICOM. So Eric loaned me a 703, and my philosophy to that point was I wanted to use my equipment like a sighted user. I didn't want to make my box be a controller. I wanted to touch the knobs and push the buttons on the radio and just have my box available to give me feedback on the stuff I needed to know what was going on. But when I got the 703, which is a small QRP radio with virtually no front panel, hardly anything, everything is menu-based. You can't even set the mic gain or the power level or any of that stuff without having to go into menus. So I kind of gave in and said, all right, I'll see about controlling some of those things remotely. So with the ICOM, I did do that on a lot of the common things, especially with the touchscreen radios where you can't do anything. I do now have it, so pretty much all of the standard things you use on a day-to-day basis, like mic gain, key or speed, compression, noise reduction, noise blanker, all that stuff you can remotely set from my box. Kind of tedious because there's only 16 keys, but you can do it.
Could I just say that he even has verbosity levels in there, so you can choose, whether you want some verbosity or a lot of or no verbosity or
yeah, the level of chatter. You know, that's always the thing. How much noise, extra noise you need going on. So. There are a couple of different things you can turn on and off just to keep, and that was the other thing. Even with the Kenwood stuff, like the TS-2000, you know, it has the speech, and you can use a radio fine without my box. My box does add some conveniences, like being able to quickly enter frequency and be able to read some stuff back. But the thing I really like about it is I could turn off that VS3, so when I hit a button, I don't have to hear 7.24. So now it's all silent, and when I want to know the frequency, I just
3.545.19G.
You know, and I'm done.
The speech is variable. The pitch is variable.
Yeah. So, okay, on my box in the text of speech, I use a double talk chipset from RC Systems. It's a nice little module, and he gives you a bunch of control over it, like the volume level, the speed, the pitch, articulation, expression, different voices. So I bring all that out so you can play around with those if you don't like any of the default stuff. What else?
Have you done anything with the TS-480 Kenwood?
Yeah. Again, it's another radio. I've never had my hands on one, but there are a couple of people using them.
I've got one.
Richard, you have one, right, Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Works fine, right?
Yep.
Great. So... other than feedback, that's all I have to go on.
With your hand pod, it works.
Yes.
Okay, because we were told it didn't.
No, it does.
No, it should. As far as I know, it does.
When we order it, we tell you what radio we're ordering.
Yeah, and another thing on the website, it's a pretty simple website, and you know they say, well, how come you don't have a thing to buy it or whatever? Like I said, I'm not a business. I don't want to be a business. And the main thing is I want to talk to you to find out what equipment you're using now, what equipment you may be using in the future, so I know what firmware to load into it to get you going, what cables to provide you with to connect to your equipment,
power connection.
Yeah, and if there's any power issues, there was something else. But Oh, and the other thing, too, is people say, well, like on the power meters, there's really not a whole lot of options for power meters right now. And because, like I said, I need to talk to a piece of equipment with a serial port. And there's really only two or three meters that I'm aware of that have a serial port, and they're not cheap. So you couple that with this box, which isn't exactly cheap in my opinion either. But it starts to be expensive. But my whole thing in the beginning wasn't so much I want to make a talking watt meter that's going to cost a lot of money. It was like if you had a K3 or a radio you already spent a lot of money on, you add my box to it, it's not that bad. It adds a whole lot more accessibility to it. And then later if you want to add a meter, then it's not a big deal. You just change the firmware in it for free, and you're talking to the meter. And that's the other thing. The firmware in here is, even though I provide it to you when I send it to you for whatever you're using, you can update the firmware. You can flash it at home. You just connect it to your PC, run a little batch file, couple button presses, and it loads new firmware in under a minute. It's simple to do. Once you do it, it's easy. It's a piece of cake. So you can always update it. Anytime if you're using it and you decide or come across, like one of the first 7100 user, you're saying, I need the ability to turn Vox on and off. So that was something I was able to add for him. So any suggestions you have that I'm able to do, I can do that. I can add it to it. You can flash it and keep it up to date. Or if you
equipment on one hand pod.
Yeah, and if yeah, true. Since there are two serial ports, you can run two pieces of equipment. And the only thing is, I need to know which two pieces you have, so I build, because it's one load of firmware in it, so I basically have the two applications running side by side, and you switch between them. But all that is, it's updatable. So if you sell one radio and you get another one, just reload the, reflash the thing with new firmware, and away you go. And it's easy to switch. Like, okay, so right now I have the K3 on one port and the ICOM on the other, and when I switch,
port 2, ICOM 88.
See, it switched to port 2. It recognized the ICOM 88. ICOM uses a hex number as their identifier. So on my ICOM firmware, I have a whole list of radios built into it. So you can take the same firmware for any of the ICOM radios I support, 703, 706, 718, 775, 756, all of them, 746 Pros. Wow. 7100, 7300, 7200, 7851 for Kelvin. What else? Anyway, so it's querying the radio for an ID. The radio responds and say, hey, I'm number 88. So the firmware knows, okay, I'm talking to a 7100. So it now knows how to format the commands and how to deal with the responses. So same on the Elcraft. When I go back to port 1,
port 1, K3.
It recognizes a K3. If it was a KX3, it would have said KX3 or KX2. So all of that is built in. So same on the Kenwood side. If you connect to a Kenwood, it'll know if it's a 2000 or a 590S or 590SG or a 480. More demonstration. Okay. So, all right, demonstration. I don't really know. All right, let me start. I'm on the K3 side.
3.545.
Question?
No, go.
Okay.
He's on 80 meter CW right now.
Yeah. So, for instance, I want to know frequency.
3.545.19C.
And the C, that was a Cozzolino nicety where you add one letter to the end of it to tell you what mode. Just as a comfort to make sure I'm in the right mode.
Change mode, Rob.
And that's an option.
Do it again.
That's an option in my within my box. I have a configuration menu where you can change all those voice parameters. You can change all the options that pertain to, in this case, the radio. If you wanted that one letter mode designation on there, you could turn that on and off if you didn't want it, and some other things. I also have an option for frequency, like if you spin the VFO,
which is turning,
and then stop.
No,
just a quick question. You never had a patent on it? You never applied for a patent?
No. No. This, I was concerned, like, with you bits folks out there. This is, you know, this is all old technology. There's nothing new about this. I don't know. This microprocessor's been out there for 5 to 10 years. It's all old stuff. It's just, you know, taking this stuff and packaging it and making it perform something that we could use. So
more demonstrations.
Yeah, I know.
So precious is it, what? Give them a
3.545.19D.
So D for D, that's D for digital. We can go through some of the modes. Go ahead again.
So let me now change mode.
And, mode FM.
See, so now
mode LSB.
I turn verbosity on.
Mode CW.
And now as he's changing modes on the radio, it's
mode
automatic
FSK.
Automatically reading it out to me.
Mode AM.
So
see, I'm gonna change bands.
Mode LSB 1.875.
So it's reading out the frequency, the and the mode.
Mode USB 50.125. 28.500.18.
So what if we go into the menus on the K3? What do
you want? Yeah. So let me turn this.
Verbosity disabled.
Okay.
Oh. Do you want
so one good thing about working with the Elecraft, and like I said, they give you so much access. You can even read the display. So they have a configuration menu in the radio where they have, I don't know, 120 or more. Configuration menus with tons of items on each one. But because I can read the display, I don't have to build all of that within the, my box. I just read the display. So if you hit the button...
LCD brightness, free.
So now he's in the menu on the radio, and it's reading...
LCD brightness.
Yeah, LCD brightness 3.
Mic select, plus line off.
So that's for the mic select. Elecraft has two mic connectors, one on the back, one on the front, so it's telling you which receptacles are active and how it's set.
Message select interval 6.
I don't know what that means.
Question? First of all, what is the website?
It's hampod.com.
Okay, that was really tough. Okay. And my other questions are on your
website. Just one second, we'll get you a microphone.
Oh, okay.
We want the recording to get you.
Oh,
we should talk about the press, long press, and the free three type, the price of types of presses.
I'm going to go over to the ICOM site and look at that.
So I'd already asked the website, which is the hampod.com. So
correct.
That was easy. My other questions are, is there a list of pieces of equipment that you pretty much know will work with it? What is the approximate price range? I'll do that. And how long does it take after you order it to get it?
Okay, on the website, I think I list most of the equipment that I support. Also on the website, there's a, on each, I have like links for each of the manufacturers. Like I have an Elecraft page and a Kenwood page and an ICOM page. And within that, it'll list some of the stuff about models. And also near the bottom, there's a couple of download links. One is a manual, and the other one is the firmware, and it also has a manual in it. So, you know, if you want to get an idea, download the manual, read through that. It's just a text file. But I also list all the key assignments on what I have for all the keys for the radio. So
let me just interject. We have all the files giving the key commands and how the presses work. So if any of you have SD cards or sticks, I have all the manuals on my Braille note. They're text files, but they could also be converted, of course, to BRF and the note takers. If any of you want to see what the list of commands are, I can give you that. I can also talk you through, you know, how, if Rob will explain, there are different ways of accessing the keypad, a regular press, a long press, a hold, a shift function. So one key will perform about 4 or 5 different functions. So if anybody needs or wants to look at that documentation just to see what the ham pod will do with some of these radios, you can contact me. I have the Braille files, and we can give them to you.
No, they're not on the website.
Yes. Well, a lot of them are. The manuals are. In fact, I think all the ones He has, except for a couple of them, are on the website. So if you wanted the Kenwood, go to the website, go to the Kenwood page, down at the bottom, you can, it's under a heading, so you can use H to get down there. But anyways, there'll be a zip, they're in zip files, but one's a manual, and the other, like I said, it's a firmware, and it also includes a manual.
And how do we contact the person who's willing to show the
file? Oh, I'm WB2ZEI. I'm in room 2153. I can give you my cell phone number, or you can, you know, we can do that, or we can do some of this after the session, however you guys want to do it.
And
How about an email address they're asking about?
Email. Okay, on the website there's an email address. There's also Google Voice. I hate Google Voice, but I didn't want to put my home phone on it. But anyways, there's a Google Voice phone number as well as an email. Anytime, and then once we get in communications, I give you my regular home phone number, my regular email address. I welcome questions, calls, anytime for any reason. I love talking about this stuff. So that's not a problem. All right, back to, let me...
Port to ICOM 88.
Okay. What's the price range?
Price range. I hate talking money.
You want me to talk money? Rob is very generous. I'm going to speak for him. He's not like a lot of the software companies. If I'm not mistaken, the price has not gone up. It's still $295 for the box and all the connecting cables you need. He has various terminations. Would you like a wall wart? Would you like for power? Would you like a wall wart? Would you like tinned ends to put on a power supply? Ring connectors so you can put on your power supply. Stuff like that. It's all $295. And I believe Rob will let you have two pieces of software for that money. So yeah. You know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, to reimburse me essentially for the hardware. Just as you know, this stuff's not cheap, especially the text-to-speech module, and the thousands of hours. But all the firmware is free. I don't do this for the money. Obviously, I do this because, like I said, I wanted it. My friends wanted it, and then after seeing how useful that was to them, they convinced me to do this. And then with all the feedback I've gotten, like from Richard and others, that's why I do it. It's great. I do it because I can, and I know how much it helps everybody. So that's the intent behind it. But unfortunately, yeah, I do have to sell the box for $295, and I set you up with whatever you need.
There's a question. I'm asking about my...
I just wanted to speak for it. I'm using it on my K3 and KPA 500, and it's just wonderful. You know, Barb, my sister bought it for me originally for my birthday, for our birthday, and it's terrific. I just bought another backup. I had a lightning storm last year, and I'll tell you, I don't want to be without this box. So Rob repaired the one I had. I have a backup. When I get the right rotor, I'll stack the backup, and you know, I'll have two more ports. I love it.
Thank you.
Further back, another question. Oh, yeah, around the right there.
Yeah, and that's the only one that's ever come back, the one that was hit by lightning.
That's right.
You gotta change your ways, Vic.
Rob.
Yes.
I've got a Kenwood TS590S.
Okay.
And that's got a lot of speech built into
right.
it. So I guess my question, and I'm sure there's got to be something to be gained by having the AmPod, because otherwise, why would you go to the trouble? But what additional or what different things happen when you hook up an AmPod?
Yeah, with the five, you know, I'll have people call me up and say, yeah, I have a 590 SSG, you know, and I'm looking at this thing. And I tell them, you really don't need it. I really didn't intend it for something like a Kenwood because, as you know, you can operate the radio just fine without it. Now, if you had some other piece of gear, like you were running a rotor controller or a meter, something like that in addition to, then it maybe makes more sense. But just for a 590, what it will give you is you can quickly be able to pull information out of it without having to touch the radio, entering frequency. I'll find to get around to doing some of that in a second here. But that's about it. Just gives you some convenience, not a whole lot. But it especially if you had something else for the second port to work with, then it, you know, financially it really makes more sense. But I don't know. There's some guys that are using it with their Kenwoods, and they love it because just for the little bit of convenience it offers. So.
But Steve, even on the Kenwood 2000, it doesn't talk anything like the 590. A lot of the stuff on the Kenwood 2000 with the beeps and stuff you can set, but you know, you can't know if the PL is on or off. You know, certain things you don't know that a couple of presses on the hand pod will bring that information to the fore. So you kind of have to look at the manual and see, you know, what will it really do for you. But it is convenient. You can just reach over to your box and enter a frequency. The box is, it sits flat on the table. You don't have to squint your hands down to get your hands down into the front of the radio and find the keys. Ergonomically, it's a little, on my Elecraft, I never enter frequencies on the Elecraft.
No,
it's always reach over to the hand pod, right. Ding, 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 and it's done.
Yep. Yeah, because your hands are there already.
Right. So it's just convenience on something like one of those higher end Kenwoods.
Okay, one more question.
I know the KX3 has a display that will show the characters that it hears on CW or RTTY. I don't know if the K3 does or not, but will the box interpret that display as text to speech or
PSK31?
You mean the data mode stuff?
Yeah,
it will read. That's a little tricky. It will read the data if you're like decoding CW, RTTY, or PSK31. There's a small on the K3 and the KX3 and the KX3. There's a small like 8-character little.
It's like 8 or 10 characters.
Yeah, there's not much there, so it scrolls by. Internally, there's a 40-character buffer inside the radio. So I read the buffer and I try to speak the text as intelligibly as possible. There's a little bit of latency involved because I kind of wait for a break and I look at the text to see if there's a number in it. I try to speak it a letter at a time in case it's something like a call sign. Otherwise, I try to just speak it as a word. So, but it, you know, if you're trying to tune in CW, it's tough to do even when you can see some of that stuff to tune in. But if you have a good signal and it's tuned in, yes, my box will read that stuff. So it does do that. And it also reads in that same display area, they show stuff like battery voltage, current draw, power amp temperature, and a bunch of other configuration stuff. It'll read all of that for you. So on the KX3, where they do give you some CW output for their feedback, they don't give you any access to any of the menu stuff, so my box will read all the menus. You can set the equalizers. You can do all that stuff. So, all right, so now I'm still connected to the ICOM. I'll just run through the keys. And like Armand was saying, there's basically two presses for each key, just a tap and a tap and hold. So when you do a tap, you get one. So I'm doing the frequency. When I just tap, it'll be VFOA.
3.819.89L.
And if I hold it,
147.675 dB.
See, so I get
147.674.
I bumped the knob. That's the other thing, too. I also have a mode, so when you're tuning the VFO and you stop after a pause, which you can set the length of the pause, then it will read the frequency to you automatically. So you don't need to push the button to get the frequency. I thought that was pretty cool, and it was until I got tired of it.
Tell me about the sync up, you know, from rounding the frequency.
Tell it when you want it, you know.
Right. So I find just after the initial joy of that, it was like, okay. Now, I pretty much know where I'm at. When I really need to know, I can ask for it. So, and then there's the keypad, 16 keys. The first 12, the three columns are laid out like a standard telephone keypad. The fourth column on the right, A, B, C, D, top to bottom. And those are used for different things. Like A is typically my shift key. So I can shift and then do a number and get four different commands out of one key, and on the Elecraft, where there's even a bunch more stuff, I have two levels of shift, so I can get six different functions out of one key. So stuff like that, just to be able to...
Tell them about the SWR, the SWR watch.
So, yeah, Armand wanted me to... Let me just go through some of these keys, like...
Split disabled.
So split, so I can find out split status.
Split on.
Turn the split on. I'm on the ICOM. This is one where I can actually...
Split on.
Control
shift.
Stuff.
Duplex disabled. Shift. Duplex plus on.
So I can...
Preamp one. Shift. Attenuation disabled. Shift.
I don't... And that's no assignment. I can't even... I've done so many things, I can't even keep straight what...
No.
What keys do what on what radios anymore.
Tone disabled.
So tone is off.
Shift. Shift. Digital voice quench disabled.
So that's off.
Filter width failed or not supported.
Okay, filter width because...
Mode DB.
Because I'm in digital voice. So if I go back to...
Set and... 3.819.89L. Filter width 1800.
So now, because I'm not in, I'm in,
Mode LSB.
I'm in lower sideband, I can read...
Filter width 1800.
I can read the filter width. Let's see.
Noise blanker disabled.
Noise blanker's off.
Shift. Antenna failed or not supported.
Because there's only one antenna there.
Noise reduction disabled. Shift. Gear speed 22. Mic gain 50. Auto notch disabled. Power 10. Shift. Compression 5. Shift. Monitor level disabled. Mode LSB.
So if I wanted to change something, let's say I want to change the power level. So what's the power level?
Power 10.
Power's 10 watts. Let's say I want to set it to 50. So I use the B key.
Set.
For set.
Set power.
Set power 50. 5.
0.
Enter.
Set power 50.
So now I just set the power to 50.
Woo!
So it's that way for just about all the, like I said, all mic gain. I can do the same thing for mic gain.
Noise read, gear speed, shift.
I got it.
SSB, mic gain 50.
Okay, mic gain is set at 50. Say I wanted to put that at 25.
Can
set.
I do that on the K3 too?
No.
Yeah, not on the K3.
No.
Set mic gain 2.
My mouth is watering.
Set mic gain 25.
So I just set the mic gain from 50 to 25.
Yeah, because of that.
And the same thing with, since the 7100 does 2 meters and 440, you can go into that and you can actually punch in the PL that you want. So you don't have to...
I spent having to turn the darn rotor around.
You don't have to count clicks.
No.
I also have on this memory...
Shift. Memory.
So I'm in memory mode, so I can...
1N6ICW 147.195F.
So that's memory location 1. It told me, it read out the memory tag name and then the frequency and the mode.
2.970A.
And I can go directly to a particular frequency, I mean memory location. Let's say I think I have one in 80, so.
80.147.675 dB CQ 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 KS6 HRPC.
And that's a local repeater where I live that does D star, so it read out all the D star information, all the repeater names. So it reads that for me automatically. And I also get out of memory mode, and so I can copy that to the VFO and make it active. If I'm on the radio and I want to save something, I can save it to memory from my box.
Exit memory.
Then I also had a request for, I'm in the car and I need to be able to use DTMF tones for my IRLP node at home or something.
Shift. D-star.
Wrong
exit one. D-shift. DTMF.
So now I added this.
Oh, wow.
So.
Exit DTMF.
Then I have a D-star mode, which... will make D star is still confusing to me, big learning curve, but I made things easier. From what I understand, a lot of guys use up to 5 memory locations for a D star connection.
Yeah, you can.
So they'll have the memory and then one to link and then one to unlink and one for an echo test and one for talk and something else. Well, now I made it so you just need one memory location. You go there, you key up your link, and then you can do button press, just a single button press, and switch between each of those different functions. And also, like when you get a new radio, you want to put your call sign in it. You can. I have a text buffer where you can enter text, which you have to for D-Star. You have to be able to enter all those call signs for the different fields. So I have a text buffer where you can enter that stuff. So you can enter your own call sign.
Shift D-Star.
So if I
my call sign,
go to my call sign, tell it read it from the radio.
Read K6DQ 7100.
So I have my call sign in there and 7100 for the model of the radio. So you can put your call sign in there. Because there's a text buffer for the memory mode, I made it so you can enter the alpha tag for a memory location. So if you want to put, you know, repeater names on your memory channels, you can do that. So the ICOM, because of the fact that I added a lot of support for being able to remotely do stuff from my box, you can do quite a bit. On the Elecraft and the Kenwood, it's pretty much just, except for the real common things like entering frequency, it's mostly just query the radio to find out what your bandwidth. And some of that stuff is really confusing. It took a lot, like the 590SG, just to be able to find out, for instance, filter width, or I can't remember what else. But anyway, so it took like seven different queries. Normally you think, oh, this is easy. All I have to do is formulate a simple command to query the radio for data, and it comes back. I parse it out, and I speak it. That's kind of, that works in some cases, but in other cases, like where I was going with the 590SG trying to read, you have to actually query for seven different pieces of information going down this tree to figure out if I'm in this mode and if this configuration item is checked and whatever before you can finally resolve what the bandwidth is. And I can also, like on here, set the bandwidth. I can choose the filters in the radio. I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff I can't remember, but hopefully it's all in the manuals.
So that's how about some stuff on the other craft? Initiated that set command, because then you don't have to go down the tree.
I missed the beginning.
The set command. Here, come.
Can't listen to both of them.
Yeah.
So that's probably why you initiated the set command. So you don't have to go down the tree all the time? Can you get directly at it?
No, the set command, that whole thing was because of ICOM and their menu structure where you can't do anything on the radio without going through menus. See, on the Kenwood, on a real radio, like a Kenwood or the Elecraft where you have all the buttons and the knobs, and like I said, my philosophy in the beginning was I want to use my equipment like a sighted user. I want to spin the knobs and push the buttons. So, but on those radios, the small radios with no front panel, essentially, or these touchscreens, you can't do that. So you need a way to be able to remotely set them. Set
those. Somebody requested you work with a Flex.
Flex. That's been brought up. You know, it's possible. If they had a serial port on them, I don't know that much about them because I don't own one.
I wonder why.
But if it had a serial port and they have the protocol, which they do, then, yeah, you could, but why buy a Flex? I guess that's about it, unless you guys have any other questions. If you want to come up and check it out and feel a 7100 or the K3.
Did
you pass the boxes?
I think they did.
Yeah.
You saw them, Betsy.
Oh, I don't need it.
Did anybody not see it that wants to see the inside of one or anything?
No, the one that's all together.
I thought you had that.
Yeah, I didn't see the one that was all together either.
It looks just like yours, Betsy.
I'm ready.
There's one right here if you want to touch it.
Let's give them a hand.
One second.
Yeah.
That's a nice material. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Is that a power supply?
I think the same thing about the radios, like I do the real radio.
Okay. There you go. Thank you.
All right, I guess that's it, Tom.
Huh?
I guess that's it.
Here you go, Tom.
Hold on a second. Just one second. Hey, listen, I wanted to, before everything gets too wild in here, I want to make sure to thank Rob Santello and the ACBRA group for doing what they've done. And I, I also want to point out that if any of you folks are BITS members that have yet to renew, Richard Villa, our treasurer, is sitting up here, and he would love to take
them. Talk about the Saturday night chat.
And we also have something called the Saturday night BITS chat. You don't have to be a member to be on the chat. There's a software package called Team Talk that we use. Betsy Doan, and I don't know, remember you, KEC, what is it, Betty? Betsy?
K1EIC.
K1EIC. She knows exactly how to do it. And any of you guys are all welcome at any time. And I want to thank every one of you for coming, and want to make all of you feel as welcome as you want to be. Anybody else? Any questions? I guess that's it, folks. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks for coming, Rob. I'm here. Thanks.